From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, June 10th, 2016. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X. In this week's report, ARRL and the Community Associations Institute find common ground on the language of the Amateur Radio Parity Act. The Pacific Northwest's Cascadia Rising exercise aims for a realistic response scenario. And a transatlantic VHF digital receiver site is now operational in Newfoundland. Those stories and others, plus Bruce Page, KK5DO, with this week's satellite update, all coming up now.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Mitch Matteau, N0DIM, of Suwanee, Georgia, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
ARRL and the Community Associations Institute, the National Association of Homeowners Associations, have reached consensus on provisions of the Amateur Radio Parity Act, H.R. 1301. ARRL and CAI have worked intensively since February to reach agreement on substitute language for the bill in an effort to move it through the U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee and overcome objections to the companion U.S. Senate bill, S.1685. Along the way, the offices of U.S. Representatives Adam Kinzinger, Greg Walden, W7EQI, and Anna Eshu mediated and offered assistance. ARRL Hudson Division Director and Legislative Affairs Committee Chairman Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, called the agreement a significant development in the League's 30-year pursuit to secure the ability to erect amateur radio antennas in deed-restricted communities. General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, said the League was pleased to have reached an agreement with CAI over new proposed language in this legislation that both ARRL and CAI endorse and support. The bottom line, Imlay said, is that if the bill is enacted, it would allow every amateur living in a deed-restricted community, for the first time in the history of amateur radio in the United States, the ability to install an effective outdoor antenna. That would benefit thousands of current and future hams living in deed-restricted communities, Lysenko added. Lysenko cautioned that getting the Amateur Radio Parity Act signed into law still remains a long process. Much work needs to be done, Lysenko said. ARRL will still need to call upon the entire membership to contact their elected officials, especially in the Senate, to ask for their affirmative vote on this bill, he stressed. More information on the Amateur Radio Parity Act, including a copy of the complete substitute amendment agreed to by ARRL and CAI, is available at arrl.org. Amateur radio played a major role in the largest FEMA exercise of 2016, Cascadia Rising, which got underway on June 7th and concluded on June 10th. In the exercise scenario, a magnitude 9.0 earthquake and consequent tsunami struck the Pacific Northwest, and the exercise began with a blackout of all conventional means of communication, a natural opening for amateur radio involvement. Aries and Racy's organizations in Oregon and Washington were heavily involved, and ARRL headquarters, including W1AW, was in the loop as well. In the exercise scenario, all Oregon Aries teams were activated and an emergency net convened on 20-meter SSB. ARRL Emergency Response Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, called a meeting of the HQ Emergency Response Team on June 7th. Corey said ARRL headquarters participated via Winlink and HF Voice, adding that the exercise offers an opportunity to exercise the headquarters emergency response team. This team is called up to support the ARRL field organization during a major disaster when support cannot be provided during normal business hours, he explained. A new Colorado law has created an Auxiliary Emergency Communications, or AUXCOM, unit within the state's Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. The action implements recommendations contained in a 2012 FCC report to Congress regarding the value of amateur radio in disasters and emergencies. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed the measure into law on June 6th after it sailed through both houses of the Colorado General Assembly. This bill will make it possible for Colorado Aries to further enhance the level of emergency communication services during times of need, ARRL Colorado Section Manager Jack Siacha, WM0G, said. Colorado's General Assembly determined that a uniformly trained and credentialed unit of communication volunteers available for disaster response would materially assist emergency preparedness and disaster response efforts across the state. The new law was conceived by Colorado Section Emergency Coordinator and State Government Liaison Robert Wareham, N0ESQ, an attorney, while he met with DHSEM staff in 2012. That year and the next, amateur radio operators played key roles in responding to multiple major disasters in Colorado, including wildfires that destroyed several hundred homes and a 500-year flood that inundated much of north-central Colorado. Online, via podcast, and on repeaters across the United States, you're listening to ARRL Audio News. Now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Do not forget that on Field Day, AMSAT also holds its Field Day. You can get a copy of the AMSAT rules at AMSAT.org. Click on Events and then Other Events, where you will find the Field Day rules. There are many satellites to use this year on sideband and CW, as well as a few for FM. Because FM satellites are single channel, you will have a good fight to get through all the QRM. Sideband and CW satellites allow for simultaneous multiple contacts. Also, if you use a software-defined radio, or SDR, for your receive, you can see where other stations are and be able to tune to maximize your contacts. Wyatt AC0RA and Dave KG5CCI will be operating as K6R on Santa Rosa Island in CM93, September 16th through 18th. They have permission to stay on the island and operate. Watch for them on most satellite passes and on HF as well. Visit K6R on QRZ for information about the de-expedition and the QSL route. For the ARRL Audio News, this is Bruce Page, KK5DO.
A transatlantic VHF digital receiver site has begun operation in Newfoundland. Frank Davis, VO1HP, reports that antennas were erected and a VHF SDR activated on May 19th to inaugurate the VO1FN transatlantic VHF digital beacon receiver site. Davis made his summer home and station in Freshwater, Conception Bay North, Grid Square GN37, available for the receive-only site. It offers an unobstructed view of the North Atlantic, and he's open to suggestions as to how to take best advantage of the site's capabilities. Attempts have been made from Newfoundland and Labrador to transmit an amateur radio signal across the North Atlantic on 2 meters with a two-way contact as the ultimate goal. The Irish Radio Transmitters Society offers its Brendan Trophy to the operators of the amateur radio stations to establish the first two-way communication on 2 meters between Europe and North or South America. June is the beginning of sporadic e-season in the Northern Hemisphere, which means the likelihood of good domestic openings on 10 and 6 meters goes up for a couple of months. National Parks on the Air activators and chasers alike should not overlook the QSO possibilities to be found on these bands. Activators can take advantage of gain antennas for these bands, which are much smaller than their 20 and 40 meter counterparts. In addition, access to 10 and 6 meters by technician licensees means many contact opportunities with an entirely new segment of National Parks on the Air chasers. Stay alert for activity on these bands for the next couple of months. There are 40 activations on the NPOTA calendar from June 9th through the 15th, including the rare Niobrara Wild and Scenic River in Nebraska and the Washita Battlefield National Historic Site in Oklahoma. Details about these and other upcoming activations can be found on the National Parks on the Air activations calendar. Amateur radio emergency service volunteers in Kentucky recently joined other volunteer organizations and emergency managers in an effort to locate a missing single-engine private aircraft. Ares teams and individual volunteers from Grayson, Hardin, and Davies counties and elsewhere mustered on June 1st at the Owensboro Airport, the plane's destination, to assist with communication. Kentucky State Police had put out the call for information on the plane's whereabouts. The plane was believed to have gone down near Rough River State Park not long after departing the Falls of Rough Airfield on a flight back to its home base of Owensboro. The crash site was spotted on the afternoon of June 1st in a remote area. A ground team subsequently reached the site and removed the body of the pilot, Dr. Robert C. Dalzell of Owensboro, a retired physician.
Hi, I'm ARRL member Bill, WA0CBW, of Shawnee, Kansas, and you're listening to ARRL Audio News.
All About Balance is the topic of the June 2nd episode of the ARRL Doctor Is In podcast. Sponsored by DX Engineering, ARRL The Doctor Is In is an informative discussion of all things technical. You can listen on your computer, tablet, or your smartphone whenever and wherever you like. Every 2 weeks, your host, QST Editor-in-Chief Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and the doctor himself, Joel Hallis, W1ZR, discuss a broad range of technical topics. You can email questions to doctor@arrl.org, and the doctor may answer them in a future podcast. You can enjoy ARRL The Doctor Is In on Apple iTunes or by using your iPhone or iPad podcast app. You can also listen online at Blueberry or at Stitcher and through the free Stitcher app for iOS, Kindle, or Android devices. Coming up on June 16th, the topic for ARRL The Doctor Is In podcast will be grounding. And finally, this reminder that the ARRL IT department will be conducting network maintenance on Sunday, June 12th to improve reliability and security. The work will occur between 1100 and 2300 UTC. During this period, some or all systems may be temporarily unavailable, including the ARRL website. Among services that will be affected are the ARRL store, the National Parks on the Air page, Logbook of the World, the DXCC page, and the ARRL VEC page. We apologize for any inconvenience. That concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about audio news, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2016 ARRL. All rights reserved. Until next week, I'm Sean Kutzko, KX9X73, and thanks for listening.